once again I seek your attention to chapter 33, the prophecy of Isaiah, and reading verses 15 and 16. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 33, verses 15 and 16. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. We didn't seem to be very far into these words as we left them at this morning, but these are words which are spoken of the Lord's people. For this descriptive 15th verse, it is the fruit of grace in the soul. It's got no moral reformation to it. It is grace in the soul that describes the Lord's people in this way and manner. For the ungodly, or indeed the most upright of those who do not fear God, can never walk righteously. As many walk self-righteously, the Lord preserve us from it. But there cannot be, unless grace is working in the soul, this desire to walk righteously. And only where the fear of God is in exercise are these other expressions and descriptions to be found. Oh, how bad is the heart of man! How ruined we all are by sin! Oh, how lost and ruined is the old man, and all his ways flow from his old nature. He cannot do a thing right, he cannot of a wish inspire, should one good wish should merit heaven. And all these ways in which the people of God are described here, if you look at them in the negative point of view, if you look at these things which they are spared and delivered from, they are only done so by the fear of God working in the heart. But the vain man, the fallen creature, the lost sons of Adam and daughters of Adam, well, they would be found in these expressions, indeed, as far as they could be. But we tried to speak of the lot then of those who grace is in the heart. He shall dwell on high. What a mercy, my friends. We spoke of one or two high places, not high places as the world would understand, but places where a sinner and a saviour have come together. He shall dwell on high. Spot some places where Jesus did they meet. Blessed places where you've been delivered for a few moments out of the lost and ruined state of this world, and they were seasons of blessing. We don't all have the apostle's experience when he wrote to the Corinthian church, when he rehearses before them that place 14 years previous, and I opened on it, and where he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. We don't always have those times. But oh, when the Lord speaks, when he speaks words of mercy, when he conveys to the heart his presence, when he makes them to feel first the need of him and then his support underneath them, my friends, that is when the people of God dwell on high. He shall dwell on high. There's no doubt about that. They will know these seasons and times. And in trying to ask the Lord for something to read this night, my thoughts went to that word in the 57th chapter. And this is one of God's lovely promises. For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That seems a mercy to me. Who can describe that? That there is a people whom the Lord will dwell with, and there is a people who will dwell with the Lord. Whatever fanciful pictures are drawn by some of the glories of heaven, my friends, and oh, there's all sorts of rubbish put over of what heaven might be like, but the heaven that I believe will be your heaven and mine will be where Jesus is. And if you've known his presence and you felt his comfort and a little communication between your soul and him, well, they're only foretastes, my friends, of what is yet to come. But that is heaven to a poor sinner. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Well, and I say it so reverently as I may command my own spirit. My friends, you don't have to go to heaven to know some heavenly spots. But if you know some heavenly spots, be assured of this, that is where you will be found in eternity. He shall dwell on high. And what is such a blessed season to the soul? If you'll forgive me, I must just draw your attention to a word which dropped in just now. And it was because of the blessing which the dear soul felt as they were the subjects of his mercy. I thought it just dropped in, if I can find it. Yes, it's in the first book of Samuel, chapter 2. It's the praise, as well as indeed the prayer of Hannah. You remember how that the Lord answered her prayer and gave her a child, Samuel. Well, in chapter 2, the prayer and praise and thanksgiving flow from her heart. And these words was just dropped in, as it were, to confirm what we said. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. And then this word, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. That's experience. That's real religion. How low? How low do you come, poor sinner? How low have you come? Oh, you say, I'm that low, I'm destitute. You'll come this low. Underneath are the everlasting arms. That's how low you'll come. But what's the arms of love and mercy for? What's the promise that was given to the children of Israel by Moses in his dying words? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He knew that before Israel was Jordan, and he knew beyond Jordan was this promised land. He shall dwell on high, lifted up out of all this vain world of sin and woe. One glimpse of Emmanuel's land, but oh, one glimpse of the face of Emmanuel. I will not gaze on glory, but on my King of grace. One view, one sight of him, he shall dwell on high. Oh, blessed, blessed place. I know I quite often repeat things that are the particular experiences of those that have gone before. And I thought then of that dear and yet poor character in Scotland. The story you all well know. What had he got in this world? Well, he slept in a loft. His bed was straw. He possessed very little in this world. He depended on the kindness of other people. He wasn't altogether 100% well in mind as well as body. And he goes up to the Lord's table. And he came home and he said he had seen yon lovely man. He dwelt on high that time, you know, and it wasn't long before his ransomed soul went to glory. He shall dwell on high. Let this be a word, wherever you are, you that fear the Lord, where you are this night in experience. Oh, you may be at the bottoms of the mountains like that disobedient preacher Jonah. And you might have to prove, and you will prove, in the liftings up of your blessed soul, that salvation is of the Lord. He shall dwell on high. The Lord's people are often cast down. Cast down by sin and Satan. Often cast down by hard words. Words which, of course, they would not expect from some, but they are cast down by reason of them. Something that brings them into distress, into darkness. But of course sin itself brings darkness and distress. And the oppressor of their soul will bring them into distress and trouble. They'll not always be there. That may be their lot now. That might be a part of the tribulation that you're walking through. But the Lord return and revive, as he most surely will his work. He'll never neglect his work, you know. He watches over it from the glories of heaven. He sees the way of grace in the soul, and he sees the poor soul under tribulation. And he knows, as he knew in the days when Israel was being under the bondage and taskmasters of Egypt, he could say, I have seen their tears. I am come down to deliver them. He shall dwell on high, and with him will this people be who are of a humble and a contrite heart. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. What does that mean? My friends, we said already, count the shells in this text. Those eternal shells, those certainties, those divine appointments. Nothing can overcome what God has said. This is a promise that fell from the lips of God himself. No wonder he says, hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. his place of defence. Sometimes we are to see the word of God as a personal word. He shall dwell on high, this person who has a gracious work within them. He shall dwell on high, his place of defence shall be the munition of rocks. Do you feel this need of defence? That you've got a place of defence? That God has provided a place where you will be preserved? He already preserved you, or else you would not fear him. He already watched over your path when Satan's blind slave you sported with death. And can he have brought me to trust in his name, and thus sorrow taught me to put me to shame? His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. My friends, what a wonderful mercy. The Lord doesn't put his people into a path that they can manage. If he could, if he did, my friends, they'd never know what these provisions were. They'd never know what God has provided through his only beloved Son for the defence of his people. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Why do they need defending? Because they can't defend themselves. Why do they need defending? Because they've got a trinity of evil opposing them. And you sing that hymn, the new man and the old by no means can agree. My friends, that's only part of the warfare. But there is a place of defence. And I said this morning, it isn't just a place where, as the 46th Psalm expresses it, God is our refuge and strength. But my friends, it isn't just only I say that very carefully, it's not just some quiet hiding place where you can watch the world go by and better times you think will come. My friends, it's a place where the God of all grace and the Father of all mercies will defend you from that place. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. In me you shall have peace, in the world you shall have tribulation. And a soul that is under grace and under the taunts and temptations of Satan will need a place of refuge. We sang this morning, other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, still defend and comfort me. Oh, my friends, what a wonderful mercy too, when you feel to need this place of defence, that you do not put your hand to the matter of which you need defending from. God is your witness in glory, and God will indeed appear and help. You may cast that cause, that condition, that pathway, that burden, that anxiety, that matter which is causing you much anxiety and distress, you may cast it on him. But his place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. What, my friends, will defend you from the justice of God? It isn't only the justice of man that you need defending from. What about the defending from the justice of God? When that holy and gracious and just God, who shall never close his eyes to sin, never indeed shall he for one moment look upon sin in any degree of allowance. My friends, this is the place of defence. His place of defence shall be the munition of rocks. It is the person of Jesus Christ. It is that glorious work which he undertook to do that glorious work which has been complete. That sweet word, and it may be that it is in the last hymn, I don't know. I was led about in these hymns. But they that in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see the danger overpast, stand every storm, and live at last. When there is a storm to be realized coming against you, the storm of death, when you find a storm of condemnation coming against you, when the waves and billows of eternal wrath you fear may overtake you and destroy you, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. You and I, my friends, must face that last great enemy, even death itself. Where will your defense be then? What will you plead before the majesty of heaven as you approach your last moments? I've often thought, you know, when time is running out, as we would say, when a person is, we are all dying, you know that. From the moment we began our life in this world, we all began to die. But when in those last moments of our life, when the wicked shall call upon the mountains and hills and the rocks to hide them, what will the child of grace rest upon? Well, I tell you what they'll rest on. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. That's what they'll hide. That will be their defense. That's what they shall rejoice in that day, that glorious forerunner, Jesus Christ the righteous, that blessed Saviour of the lost, he who is the Passover Lamb, has gone before in the pathway of death. He who suffered death for every man, that is, for every one of his people. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. My friends, it's a safe refuge. It's the only refuge. In that dread moment, oh, to hide beneath thy sheltering blood, 'twill Jordan's icy waves divide and land my soul with God. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. You know, dear friends, when your cause is right, though however the worldling or however Satan shall come against you with this and that temptation and trial, whenever your cause is right in the eyes of God, you may plead his own holy word. You may appeal to him who is in glory. He will defend. As we reminded you of Jael this morning, in that case of Jehoshaphat. My friends, when you appeal to God on the grounds of his word, he will take up the cause and the burden and will deal with it. And you and I must not need to lift a finger for our own defense. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. And then, of course, the Church of Christ, the poor, needy soul, the person who is under a gracious teacher now, has a weapon to use. And as far as I see, and I have to be very careful because I feel my ignorance, my friends, he has a weapon to use. I was going to say, it doesn't cut across what I've already said, but God has put a weapon in the hands of his people and to use it. and that's the weapon of all prayer. And who shall wield it best? Who shall wield it best? Prayer's a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls shall wield it best. No, when the Lord gives the spirit of prayer, you've got a blessing greater than anything man can bestow upon you here below. Because you have access to God in heaven. And you have in access to God in heaven what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples when he left them at Bethany and went back to glory. My friends, this is where you can stand. This is a word you can plead. This shall be your strength and comfort in the impossibilities. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's on the side of the Lord's people. Oh, multitudes might rise against you. And Satan with all his kingdom is powerful enough, is mighty enough, and is strong enough, and left to yourself you would fail miserably. But when the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, my friends, there's no power that can prevail against such blessings. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. There is the security of God's people in their times of need. And in the times when the enemy comes in like a flood, and with one reason and one purpose to overthrow them, they'll not be overthrown. You look in the pathway of David, you know, God's appointed leader of Israel when Saul was dethroned. And what low places that dear man came into. He was harassed by Saul as long as Saul lived, until that day of mercy. But there was a low place once, or so he came into, and he said what you and I will say, one day I shall fall by the hand of Saul. Oh, you say, you unbelieving soul, my friends, when you come to these places and all is dark and Jesus has not come, they are places where you begin to believe the enemy, and you fall under his temptation and his accusation. His place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. That is what God has provided for his people. And when you approach him in that blessed way of prayer and supplication that we just briefly said, the weapon of all prayer, the word of God will tell you, take with you word. Remember, Esau was approaching Jacob with 400 men. Remember the promise at Bethel. Remember the promise. Jacob brought the promise before his God and spread it before him. And thou hast said, my friends, and that promise prevailed with God. There was nothing more but nothing to harm. There was love and affection between Jacob and Esau. They went their ways, and no harm was found between them. No jealousy, nothing. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. What, my friends, will you do on the judgment day? You'll need defending then. You'll certainly need defending then. There'll be many, my friends, who will call to question the very day that it exists. Who shall be concerned about the judgment day? And in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we find the name of the judge very clearly and solemnly declared, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead, Jesus Christ will be the judge. How will it be in those days? His place of defence. That hymn said this, you know, points to their name. Upon his breast, and spreads his wounded hands. That's the place of defence. Who can touch the child of God? Who can bring him to a shame? How can he miscarry on such a blessing as that? Some of you have blessings to look back on. Some of you long for those blessings. Let this promise be applied. Let the Lord apply the promise, and you will see your safety and security. Would he have showed us these things, that dear woman said to her husband, and then kill us? But Manoah and his wife, in the book of Judges, the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on, and the poor man's faith, I was going to say failed, well, it almost did. We have seen the Lord, we shall die. But you know, my friends, the Lord had showed them these things, not to kill them, but to encourage them, caused them to believe in him. Would the Lord have showed us these things if he meant to kill us? He shall dwell on high, his place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, and his water shall be sure. I don't believe it means providential things only. I'm sure of this, that providence is in it. So much so that Elijah at the widow's house in Zarephath was under this same promise. Fear not, he said to the widow, fear not, the barrel of meal shall not waste, nor the cruse of oil fail, until the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Bread shall be given him, and his water, and bread shall be given, his waters shall be sure. Again, a promise of an unfailing God, a promise which is to the people of God, these that have a righteous work in their heart. Bread shall be given him. The bread and water is all we're promised, actually, in the scriptures. We've gone a long way from bread and water, haven't we? In the psalm that I believe we made mention of this morning, we find these words. We spoke about the fall, that is, the slips and falls of those who fear the Lord. But then we could have read this: I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And some of us in times past, and some of you now, will know the pathway which is recorded here. And to the mercy and praise and glory of his name, every day this word comes to pass. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. But then, and what then, my friends, of your spiritual life? Oh, it's one thing to record the goodness of the Lord in providence, and we should do so, and bless God for his mercy and his compassion. But what then of the living in Jerusalem? This is the people of God. This is recorded here. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. This is the new nature of grace, not some refurbished old nature. None of that will do in this text, but this is that work of grace. Bread shall be given him. My friends, he that first saved you still keeps you alive. He that first called you still keeps you alive. What does he keep you alive with? Bread shall be given him, that his waters shall be sure. And I was looking too at a word here somewhere during the week for my own profit, I trust, not for any other reason, no preaching in it. I'm not sure where I can find it. Yes, I can. In chapter 30 of this prophecy, and this is the word: and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. He didn't ask you whether you would want the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, but there was teaching in it. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. There was profit in it. Oh, never, my friends, imagine that a person who is brought out of nature's darkness and brought into the glorious light of the kingdom of God, whose feet are found in that narrow way which leadeth unto life, oh, never think, my friends, that the rest of the way to heaven. There used to be an old minister in Essex, I believe he used to preach here, Kenneth Caldwell. I believe he used to preach here, and he used to say the way to heaven is not in slippers. It's not in slippers. Well, my friends, the way to heaven is one of tribulation, but the way of teaching is in various ways. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, mentions being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will maintain the life of God in the soul. It may be by the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. It will be to stir up his people to pray, to seek his face, to call upon him in the day of trouble. Bread of adversity, the water of affliction. But there's something also here that shall be indeed so preciously known. And let me read this to you. My friends, we don't want the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. That's not what we want. We don't ask for it. We don't seek it either. It's a part of our lot. But let me read you another word from the Gospel of John. And this is how he will sustain his people with the bread and water of life. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, and Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That is what will sustain your soul. And whatever comes against it, the life of God in the soul will never be destroyed. And the health of that soul as well. You bless God for the health of your body, but may you be concerned too in the health of your soul, my friends. But there is that blessed person of Christ described in his own words: I am the bread of life. He that shall never hunger, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. My friends, this is the bread that shall be given him. This, his waters, shall be sure, and it's found in Christ. It will be strengthening. It will be for his comfort. He shall grow in grace with this diet of bread and water. And dear friends, you'll never know too much of this glorious person. You won't be so the tempter will have you. Well, it's the same diet, it's the same language, it's the same sermon, it's the same text, it's the same word. My friends, you'll never be, if you're a child of grace and your soul is in health, you'll never find the gospel to be tedious. You'll never find this blessed old subject, of which so many people say it isn't relevant today. My friends, you'll never find that you'll hear too much of Christ. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. One of God's shells again. One of God's certainties. All for the growth of grace. All for the good of soul. Of the soul. All for his honour and praise and glory. He shall dwell on high. His place of defence shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. It shall sustain him. He'll go on his way a little on the strength that is given him. Remember that incident in the prophet's life when he was threatened death within 24 hours. It's the first of Kings and chapter 19, I think it is, where he was running away from Jezebel. And we find this, that he slept under a juniper tree. We read an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Well, now you just think, you believers in Jesus. And I believe, my friends, every child of grace will have to prove the truth of those words. Bread shall be given him, and his water shall be sure. What's it for? For their journey. The journey is too great. Oh, you say, but sometimes we faint and as weary. Sometimes we read this afternoon at Westrow that account of I think it was the 4,000 or the 5,000, I can't remember which one it was, but there was something to be provided for. Wonderfully how the Lord appeared for his followers there. 5,000. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? What does it mean? My friends, what does a child of God live on? Does he live on a lot? Is it vast quantities of blessings that the Lord is pleased to bless his soul with? Well, sometimes it may be that there is a sweet revelation to the soul. My friends, sometimes it's but a word. Sometimes it's but a word. And some of you who have spent many years in the wilderness journey will know this, that you've gone in the strength of that word. And then sometimes it has pleased God to renew that word. Sometimes you've had it brought back to you in sweetness and in blessing. It's the word of God, and you rest on it, and you rest your soul on it. Some of those sweet gospel promises which have been your comfort and confirms you've been in the way, and it confirms you too that you're on the way to glory. we say, well, I've lost sight of some of them, well then may the Lord in his resurrection power bring them up from the grave, as it were, so bless your soul again with them. But you've gone in the strength of that. And I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. My friends, when he speaks such words, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You'll go in the strength of that sort of food. His word is your comfort. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. And there were some of those times, you know, when the Lord Jesus spoke and they didn't understand it. And they couldn't seem to gather what the truth. But, you know, when he rose from the dead, they remembered it. He came back to them then. When he was buried, they lost sight of him and couldn't understand his word and didn't know what was happening, and they questioned all these things one with another. But when he rose from the dead, when he showed himself, when he spoke to them again, when he gathered with them, then all these things came together as the word of God. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Do you think for a moment that he's called you out of nature's darkness, begun to teach you great and good things for the good of your soul, made you pass through tribulation's way, upheld you in that tribulation by his word as bread that has been a strength to you, and that he'll leave you at last to perish? He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Amen. Again, God willing, there's a prayer meeting Wednesday. I hope to be here next Lord's Day. And on Saturday, March the 31st, there is a church meeting arranged. Shall we close with him? 352. The moon and stars shall lose their light. The sun shall sink in endless night. Both heaven and earth shall pass away. The works of nature all decay. But they that in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see the danger overpassed and every storm and live at last. Hymn 352. do. Thank thee for all thy help through thy day. Oh, how ashamed we have been, Lord, in thinking back on those times of fear, those doubts which rise so constantly within us. Now that thou hast been better to us than our fears. Oh, do bless thine own holy word. Forgive and pardon all that's been wrong. Now be with us. And Lord, what lies before us thou knowest, but be with us. Take us now to our homes in safety and in peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forever. Amen.